Well, good morning. We had an awesome child recertification, child safety recertification class this morning. We had 75 people there to make sure that your kids are safe. And Liz Wallstrom has done an awesome job working on that, doing tons of work behind the scene, agonizing over details about rules and implementation, and I am just so thankful for all the work that she has put into that. Yes. I don't know if anyone really feels passionate about putting together lists of rules and procedures and guidelines. But I know that Liz has done this out of a labor of love and concern for the kids of our church and our church in general. So thank you for that, Liz. Also, I want to thank all of you who helped with Virginia Law's memorial service yesterday. Thank you for those of you who showed up and volunteered your time to from setting up chairs and tables to working in the kitchen to cleaning up afterwards. All of it. Thank you. Thank you for all those who are going to help this afternoon with Evelyn Ho's service. Thank you for being a fantastic church family. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And today we're going to talk about prayer. We'll talk about prayer today. And let me start out by asking you this question about prayer. When you realize that you've gone through a season where you haven't done much prayer, why is that? I think a lot of us would say that we're too busy, and the reason we don't pray is because we just have too much to do or too much going on. There's probably some truth in that, but I think underneath that is the idea of we don't think that God is all that much help. We kind of have a doubt about God that would have us thinking that God doesn't really care, that God is a long ways away, and that prayer, after all, doesn't do that much good anyway. And if that's true, then why make time for it? You ever feel like that? Like, I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, and it feels like nothing makes it past the ceiling, and God's all the way in heaven, so why bother praying? It's a doubt about God. Other times we have doubts, I think, about ourselves, doubts that we are the kind of people that God would even want to listen to. So at my last church, when I was up there on 44th Street in Grand Rapids, there was two people in that church that were prayer warriors. I'm sure there were more, but there's two people in my mind that really stood out to me as prayer warriors. One of them was Mary Kuick, prayer warrior. Another one was Wolfgang Kersting, prayer warrior. And I remember saying to some people, man, when they start praying about something, you put on your crash helmet and you go sit in the corner because God's going to start throwing stuff around. I mean, stuff starts to move when those two start praying. And you've probably known people like that when they say, okay, they make eye contact with you and they say, I'm going to pray about that. You're like, oh man, because you know they're going to pray about that and stuff's about to change one way or the other. I realized that when I had said that, it kind of gave people an excuse to not pray because they're like, well, I'm not like Mary Kuick. Well, I'm not like Wolfgang Kersting. God doesn't listen to me. I'm just a normal person, or I'm a little less than normal. Why would God listen to me? He'll listen to them. He's not going to listen to me. See, when we don't pray, I think it's because we have doubts about ourselves, that we're the kind of people that God would want to listen to. We have doubts about God, that God is even paying attention or that God cares. Like, if God cared, then why would I be going through this stuff? We have doubts about God, doubts about ourselves, and just generally, in a word, doubts. And that's, I think, one of the big obstacles to prayer. And this is what Jesus is addressing in this passage. So Jesus, verse 1, chapter 18, verse 1 in Luke, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And if you are a pastor trying to preach this, you go, hey, I know what I'm going to preach about this week. He just gave me the big idea. He just told me what I'm going to say. Now I just have to find my 3 points, right? I'm kidding. Kind of, not really. But this is the point, is always pray. You know what he's saying now. That we should always pray and not lose heart. Okay, I know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to always pray and not give up. So when we're, the opposite of always praying is what up there that you can see up there on the screen? Losing heart. That you say, I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing happens, and then I lose heart. So Jesus is telling them a parable that they should always pray and not lose heart. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Now, this judge is accountable to no one. You know, if he feared God, he'd be accountable to God. If he feared man, he'd be accountable to man. But he neither fears God nor respects man. He's accountable to no one. And here's what Jesus is getting to. That's how some of you feel about God. That God's not accountable to anyone. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing ever happens. And God doesn't have to follow any rules because he's up there and we're down here and we're left for dead. And Jesus is talking about our doubts about God. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow. The widow was almost a symbol of helplessness. She was in no position to bribe the judge, and she had no protector to put pressure on him. This was not a society like ours, where widows had equal legal rights. This was a different sort of society that was dependent on male representation. So she is a symbol of helplessness without a man to go and protect her or to put pressure on the judge. She was armed with nothing but the fact that she was right and her own persistence. Remember what the moral of the story was that Jesus started out with, that we should always pray and not give up. What is she armed with? Persistence. The fact that she's right and that she can keep going before the judge longer than he can keep putting her off. Then in a war of wills, she will win. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. So if you have your Bibles open to Luke 18, maybe you could swing over with me to Luke 20. And that says, in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the feasts. Then what's that next phrase that starts out verse 47? Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, and they will receive the greater condemnation. See, when she is saying, give me justice against my adversary, imagine how vulnerable these women must have been if even the religious people, even the most religious people who walk around in long robes and get the best seats in the synagogues and everyone's going, oh, look how holy they are. They're the ones devouring their homes. What are the non-religious people doing? What are the bad people doing to the widows? I mean, Jesus is saying the religious people are the bad people here. But you get what I'm saying? Like, what are the predators doing? Give me justice against my adversary. This is a real thing. The typical court scene, this is fascinating. The typical court scene in the Middle East was not marked by somber decorum. So when we go to court here, we sit quietly and we only spoke if we're spoken to type thing. Got to be quiet. Got to stand at the right time. Got to sit at the right time. You don't mess around. You sit. If you talk at all, you do so in a respectful whisper. The typical courtroom scene in the Middle East was not marked by somber decorum, but a great din of shouting and pushing. Everyone trying to get the judge's attention, get their case heard. this woman would be heard only because she was the shrillest. No male to push his way to the front and demand justice. She just was louder. For a while, the judge refuses. Okay, so she is wrong, deeply wrong. We don't know if she had her house taken or what happened. Just a parable. Jesus doesn't tell us. You just know this widow was wrong. It happened a lot. And so she goes to the judge and says, give me justice against my adversary. And he's like, I don't care. I'm just going to go on with life. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, though I'm accountable to no one and I prefer injustice, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. What did Jesus say the point was of this parable before he told it? That you should always pray and not lose heart. That you should always pray and not give up. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Jesus says, always pray. Do not lose heart. Now, what's the first reason to always pray and not lose heart? What's the first reason? Well, it's right here. That God is not like the unjust judge. That God is just. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Of course he will. God is not like the unjust judge. You know, in the Bible, if you really want to make God mad, what do people have to do to really make you mad? Cut you off? Get to the front of the line and then not be ready? And you're like, oh, what do people have to do to really make you mad? Really make you mad? Mess with your kids? What do they have to do to get you boiling mad? What they have to do to really, really make God mad in the Bible quite often is mess with widows and orphans. People who are helpless. Genesis 38 tells a story about this. There's a guy named Judah who has a couple sons, and his oldest is named Ur, and Ur is evil. So the Lord puts him to death. And so Judah says to his next son, Onan, you need to take care of his wife, Tamar. You need to perform the levirate marriage. And he doesn't want his kids to share in the inheritance of his brother. So he uses Tamar, but denies her rights. And this makes God mad. Killing mad, and God kills him. God is more just than you. God gets more angry at injustice than you do. When we see injustice, we kind of throw our hands up and say, I don't know what to do about that. I'm frustrated by it. I don't know what to do. And it just kind of as a self-defense or self-preservation, we just kind of go on with life. God gets more and more and more angry until he solves it. This is why we should pray to him. We should pray to him because he is just, because he is not like the unjust judge. He is the opposite of the unjust judge. This is why Jesus is saying, persevere in prayer. The person you're praying to hates the injustice more than you do. So why always pray? Well, always pray, number one, because God is just. Always pray, number two, because you are elect. It's fascinating to hear. Jesus assumes his audience is elect. And we're not God. Give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night. really delay long over them. Now, what does it mean to be elect? I probably just lost some of you because maybe that's a theological term. You're like, I don't know what that means. Well, what do we mean when we say we're going to have an election? We mean we're going to pick somebody. Being elect means you're chosen. That's all it means. God picked you. God chose you. You are God's elect means God picked me. That's huge. You are not a throwaway person. You are elect. God picked you. You are not a voiceless person that no one hears and no one cares about. You are elect. God picked you. You are not one of those people that just everything they say kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Not with God. You are elect. God picked you. This is why I just say you need to always pray and not give up because you are his elect. He picked you. I think it's one thing to just hear me say it. I think it's another thing for you to say it. I think you need to hear yourself say, I am elect. He picked me. Three words, I am elect. Three more words, he picked me. You had to make sure. Sometimes when you're up here talking, you don't know. I am elect. He picked me. Think of this, that God left high, clean, safe heaven to come down here and join us in dangerous, dirty, messed up Bethlehem. Why? So he could save his elect. You are elect. He picked you. Why don't you say that with me? I am elect. He picked me. I am elect. He picked me. It means when he's up in Capernaum, where he's a rock star, remember up on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee, and he makes the long voluntary walk down to Jerusalem where he knows he's going to be falsely convicted of your sins and mine and of his people's sins. He knows he's going to be falsely convicted. He knows he's going to be brutally beaten. He knows he's going to be ruthlessly crucified. He knows how he's going to thirst. He knows how he's going to be spit on. He knows about the shame that's coming. He knows he's going to be separated from his father's love. He knows he's going to have God's wrath and all the injustice poured out on him as he dies for our sins. Why? So he could save the elect. Say it with me. I am elect. He picked me. And he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is coming again to judge the living and the dead and make everything right. And we are not afraid of this because we are elect and we have put our faith in him and he chose us. One more time. I am elect. He chose me. So pray because he hears you. He hears you. He's listening. You are not a voiceless person. You're not a throwaway person. You're not a person that doesn't have any pull in what they say because he chose you, because he loves you, because he's listening to you. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So the question Jesus kind of turns it around and leaves us with is, the question is not, will God do justice? Of course God will do justice. God is just, and he will mete out justice. Believe that. He will. The question is our faith saving faith? The question is, will our faith be faithful? The question is, will we persevere in faithfulness? That's the question. Because he had to warn the church, because the church was going to come under intense persecution. The church is about to suffer greatly. I mean, Acts, the book of Acts is replete with the persecution of the church. You think of the stoning of Stephen here. And you think of, will we hold on to our faith? Or will we lose heart? That's how Jesus started, remember? Remember, he said why we should always pray and not lose heart. So when the persecution comes, will you be the kind of person that holds on to your faith, or will you lose heart? And the way to hold on to your faith is to pray. Because in prayer, you're remembering that I am elect and that he is just, and that this is not a waste of time because he is just and I am elect. Always pray. Always pray because he is just. You are elect. And praying proves and improves our faith. So this is the question, right? This is the question. The question is, will you pray? Will you always pray? Or will you give up? Will you pray? Will you always pray? Or will you lose heart? Will you pray when the persecution comes, or when you're misunderstood, or when you're hated? Will you pray then? A couple weeks ago, I talked to you a little bit about Dale Pinkley Jr. Grew up in our church, is now in leadership at Emmanuel Christian School, where Mrs. Pence is teaching art. Some of you who watched the news saw the media firestorm over this school's position on biblical sexuality. For me, I'm not saying this because of politics. I'm saying this because of a Christian school that wanted to take a biblical approach to sexuality is under fire. Other schools are still trying to kick Emmanuel Christian School out of their sports conference. So they can't play basketball against these other schools, or they can't play soccer against these other schools. When there's a social cost to following Jesus, will you pray or will you lose heart? This is Jesus reminding us to always pray and not lose heart. Will you do that when there is a social cost to following Jesus? Will you pray or will you lose heart? People who own businesses and send their kids to this Christian school are being asked by their gay employees, do you believe this stuff and do you hate me? And of course, the short answer is no, we don't hate you. But how do you explain all this? How do you take it out of the anger and rage and firestorm in the news and bring it down to a personal, loving level with people? This is a personally costly issue. And when personal cost is involved, will you pray or will you lose heart? When following Jesus means personal cost. This week, Dale told me there's a family pulling their kids out of the school because they can't handle the pressure. And this, I have financial implications. When there's financial implications to following Jesus, will you pray or will you lose heart? The leadership in the school still feels like they need to pay for police protection in addition to the protection provided by the Secret Service. The school is still receiving hate mail and threats. Like, that's an emotional cost. There's an emotional cost to coming into a school that is guarded in that way. When there's an emotional price tag to following Jesus, will you always pray Will you always pray or will you lose heart? See, when Jesus is saying to always pray and not lose heart, I mean, this may get more and more real for us. And we want to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the spotlight now, because someday, if we're in the spotlight, we'll want people praying for us. So will you pray? Praying reminds us of our faith that God is just and that we are his chosen ones. Faith that he came and died for our sins and rose again on the third day. Faith that he is making us more and more like Jesus. It proves and improves our faith. And I think as we pray, we improve and prove our faith. And it also reminds us of the just heart of God. And I think this church really takes this heart for justice seriously. I say this because I was so happy as we did the series in Exodus a little while ago, last fall. And I challenge you, I say, you know, we were reminded how we were once slaves in sin and how God set us free. And as we studied that for 13 weeks or so, however long that was, and we came out and into the freedom, we said, let's bring other people out into freedom. As we study this going, we were slaves and now we're free, let's help other people experience this same thing. And so we raised $10,000 for Barnabas Ministries, which helps at-risk teens here in Allegan County, in Allegan specifically. We raised $10,000. You generously gave. I shouldn't say we raised. I mean, you generously gave $10,000 to Safe Harbor, which is a nonprofit here in Allegan where the police take people who may be victims. If they think someone is victim of sexual exploitation, they take them to Safe Harbor, or human trafficking. They take them to Safe Harbor. You gave $10,000 to that. You gave $10,000 to the gospel, Kalamazoo Gospel Mission, which is located downtown Kalamazoo, of course, and we gave for their relief fund that helps people kind of overcome some of the bad decisions they've made and provide a single entry so that they can make their mission safer. We gave $5,000 to Closed Door Ministries to help especially women learn how to sew in a refugee camp. And finally, we gave $20,000 to Sacred Beginnings, which helps victims of human trafficking in Grand Rapids, Michigan, escape human trafficking and be in a safe house. And we sponsored 4 women to be in a safe house for a year so that they could have this freedom, so they could experience a measure of justice. And you guys gave all of this to all of this. And we also did a project here so we could spend less money on electricity and more money on mission. We raised an additional amount for that. But you guys gave so generously to this that we were able to send another $800 to each of these ministries this past week. Because God is just, and we want his heart for justice as well. We want his heart for loving kindness and freedom as well. As we pray that his will be done here on earth as in heaven, as we pray that his kingdom would come and his name would be glorified. I think this is the kind of people you want to be. I think you want to be people that are just, that work for justice in the world, people that are characterized by faith. And to be people that are just and characterized by faith, we have to be people of prayer. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for you being a just God, that we know that you are watching over us. We know that you are keeping track. We know that you are just. And Lord, we do pray that you would give us faith to not lose heart, faith to follow you, faith to keep praying even when we don't see any results. Lord, give us faith to work for justice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.